I'm not gonna have a lot of time to talk about this in the actual episode, so I wanted to talk to you now. I was going over my years, and video games used to be better, and now they are worse. And that is my thesis statement: is that video? I would take one of the quarters of any of either of my years over any year of the past decade, except maybe 2017. But video games used to be better, now they're worse.
Do you think it's a Beatles situation where, like my dad was saying, like, well, when I grew up, I had the Beatles, and you have, you know, freaking Jewel.
It's like that, except if my answer was, Dad, the bands today are better, except the only band was Fortnite. And that was the only band that existed.
And also, they didn't have a Metacritic back in Beatles times, and now we do. So we have, like, numerical data proving that games used to be better. And I'd be curious to hear everybody's thoughts on why they think that censorship is the reason for that, and censoring all the cool, sexy stuff that used to be in games.
Russ, you were talking right before we started recording about how political correctness ruined games.
Right, enough already, guys.
If you could just speak on that.
With the, you know, feeling snowflakes and...
Sure. Go on. You were specifically saying...
Fresh saw, like, one episode of Bill Maher, and it's really digging deep to remember what happened.
Et cetera.
You were saying how in a lot of your favorite games, back in the day, if the camera looked up accidentally a skirt, you would see underwear, and now it's just a shadow, and you were talking about how that's bad and has ruined games. Russ was saying
Speak to that, please, Russ.
Speak on that right now, Russ.
Have you guys thought about how, like... You could play Soldier of Fortune back in the day, and you could blow off every limb and, like, pinky individually, and you can't do that anymore. Like,
no. No, it's just full hands now.
No.
I need the fingers to feel it.
My name is Justin McElroy, and I know the best year of all time.
My name is Griffin McElroy, and I'm the chronomancer who knows and will rank all of the years.
My name is Chris Plant, and pretty much any year is better than 2020.
My name is Russ Frochick, and I'm the best thing of the years.
Welcome to the Besties, where we talk about the latest and greatest in interactive entertainment. It's a book club, but for video games, a game of the year show that goes all year long. And this year, we are now changing up the format. Remember a couple months ago, we got really excited because games were back. Mm. And I have bad news. Games have been excused from the building. Games are no longer back. They are gone from us. But the show, as they say, has to continue. And as a result, we have shaken up our format a little bit. And Chris Plant's here to tell you all about it.
We are going to talk about the best year in video games, and we need your help on deciding it. So we're going to run a bracket. This episode goes live on a Friday, and we're going to give you 8 years to choose from, and you'll vote on our Twitter feed. The first 8 on Friday, the next 4 on Saturday, the bottom 2 on Sunday, and then we'll have a winner of the best year in video games. And once we have that year, we're going to launch a mini-series in which we will do episodes on the best games from that year. So say, I don't know, 2017, because that's a pretty good year, was the winner. We would be talking about Breath of the Wild and Mario Odyssey and, I don't know, probably like Nier Automata. Like, that would probably be a thing that we would talk about. That's the basics of it, right? So I feel like we can just say that 2017's going to be the year.
Ooh, right? That's a tough pick. We got a lot of great arguments. We did. It's worth noting. This is a March Madness style bracket, and of course it's April now, but March was canceled, if you'll remember.
Didn't happen.
They didn't do March this time, so we had to do it in April.
You're probably getting excited about this series as we explain it, but a little bit worried, so let me go ahead and assuage your fears right now. We are going to take a break from it the week of May 12th so that we can talk about the remaster of Star Wars Episode 1, colon, Racer.
colon, Racer.
colon, Racer, so don't sweat that. We'll be there to cover it and talk about our favorite pod racers.
And we owe credit, by the way, for the inspiration, of course, for this format to... one of my favorite podcasts, Blank Check, and I know several of you are fans too. They do this for directors. We are doing it for years.
At least for right now. We might expand it beyond.
We should go ahead and copyright it, as I guess is what I'm saying, so we can sue them if need be. Listen, let's start making pitches for the greatest year in video games. I'm so excited to dig in. I had a lot of fun going back over my years. So, Chris Plant, do you want to lead us off with your... I see you squeaked in a few minutes, kind of breaking Robert's rules of order there.
Should we ground rules it? Because we talked about this before, though. Let's establish... Are we talking about the best year, our favorite year, the most important year? Like, I think that this is an important, like, framing discussion before we really launch into it.
I mean, those are all going to blur together, I think, pretty quickly, right? Like...
Yeah, I think we should also bear in mind that we are going to have to play the games from this year.
That, I think, actually what Griffin says is the deciding metric, right? What is the year that we would most want to return to play the games from? Because that is what we will do. So that will you can't like sort of stroke your beard and be like, Commander Keen was very important to... No, fuck you. You don't want to go back and play Commander Keen.
So like, we want y'all playing these games too.
So, yeah, yeah. You've got to play them too. So you have a vested interest.
Yeah. Right. So we're going to... Justin, you mentioned giving me 2 minutes.
Does that seem fair if we have 2 minutes for each year? Does that seem...
Are we going to go beyond the 2 minutes to go deeper?
Yeah, after the initial pitch, we can discuss.
Okay, initial pitch is 2 minutes. Got it.
We just have to keep the follow-up to like a minute to keep everything fair for everybody.
Okay.
Right. Okay. Let's go.
I'm
Chris
ready.
Chris Plant, begin.
2017, it's the turning point for the video game medium, especially the modern era of it. It's the evolution of open world games from action games in these like very beautiful but rigid spaces like Horizon Zero Dawn to games that are fundamentally about exploration like Breath of the Wild. It's the launch of games that are critiques of games. We talked about this last week and the week before with Nier Automata and Resident Evil 7 Remake. It launched arguably the biggest genre of this decade with PUBG and Battle Royale. It had some of the best indie games of ever. Universal Paperclips, Getting Over It, Butterfly Soup, and arguably, don't give me that look, genre touchstones, Persona 5 for JRPGs, Destiny 2 for shooters, Prey for immersive sims, and I have all this extra time left. Welcome to talking about Gravity Rush 2, friends. Gravity Rush 2 was available on the PlayStation 4. It's a sequel to one of the best games ever made, Gravity Rush. Maybe you played it on the PlayStation Vita. And I see the rest of my time to
Nier Automata. You see the other games. You see the other games on this list that we are talking about today, and you're like, but you know what can hang with Ocarina of Time? You know what can hang with Uncharted?
Gravity Sounds Rush like somebody who didn't 2. Finish Gravity Rush 2. That's all.
Sounds like somebody didn't start Gravity Rush 2.
Wow.
It was a good game. Wow. It was okay.
What I'm saying is 2017, pretty good year.
Did you mention the fact that the Switch came out that year? Was that part of your pitch? You were speaking
Did you say
I didn't even. I guess it's just such a good year that I did have to fit in Gravity Rush 2. So,
it was a very good. I think it's the only good year of the last decade in terms of like our list. It's the only one that
what
made
is literally
it.
In terms of our list. Yeah,
it's the best. It's the best year of the past decade, I think, because I remember talking about the sevens being so hot, and I think you'll see that going back through this list. Like any year that ends in seven in the last 30 years has been like pretty damn good for video games.
Now, my counter argument, even though I was the one that initially suggested 2017 to be included in this, is maybe I don't want to just do besties episodes from 3 years ago.
Yeah, like I have already replayed Breath of the Wild all the way through twice. I don't necessarily think that it would be the most eye-opening conversation to be like, hey, it's still fucking really good.
Yeah,
it's
my dad's still playing it. It's a good game. We wouldn't be educating the youth. Can I hop in and make a quick pitch? Let me set my timer because I got a lot of games. It's different from 2017 in that way because there's a lot of great... Okay. I began. 1996 was unreal. Okay, you had... Not unreal. You had, first off, the Nintendo 64 and the Game Boy Pocket, if you want to talk hardware, two, like, awesome... Game Boy Pocket's an awesome evolution of the Game Boy. N64 is, of course, a massive console. Let's talk games. Duke Nukem 3D. Huge. Yep. Formative. The first Pokemon game. 1996.
Okay. In Japan.
Super Mario RPG. Yes, thank you. I will have it. Resident Evil. The first one of those. Super Mario 64. Are you kidding me? Quake. Massive. Crash Bandicoot. First one of those. The first Persona game.
The Griffin, first have you played the first Persona game? Sorry to interrupt.
That's all right. The first Tomb Raider game. Okay. Then... Mario Kart 64. If you want to get a little, you want to go below the surface a little bit. That's just the top tier first string games. You want to go below the surface a little bit. Let's talk about Metal Slug. The first Metal Slug came out that year. Sequels. The Elder Scrolls II Daggerfall. Not a lot of people played that, but it seems impressive. Tekken 2, an excellent Tekken game. Yeah. We can all agree on that. Did I mention Pilotwings 64? Because that fully was in 1996. Dead or Alive, first Dead or Alive, 1996. And I think that first off, I also have to mention Ripper, excellent FMV adventure starring Christopher Walken, a very bored Christopher Walken. Excellent, excellent game. But the cherry on the top, when I saw this, I was like, okay, this year is going over the top, and it is Die Hard Trilogy, which fucking rules and nobody talks about.
Is that the one where he runs down the hallway and punches people in the face?
That's one of the three games. It's three different games on one disc.
A genre-bending adventure. Yes.
That's my time.
Can I make my counterpoint very succinct? 1996, what if all of your favorite franchises before they were fun?
I mean, yeah. It's not a bad point, but I think you could probably leverage that argument against a couple of the years in here.
Oh, and I'm prepared to.
my like looking into these years really opened my eyes to how many sequels of these games ended up being much, much better than the original game, which is such a like interesting little quirk of the video games industry.
I will grant you, by the way, that this is it's sort of the inverse of the 2017 because it's maybe more historic than it is like fun to play good, like very, I mean, these are all really important games, right? With the exception of maybe Duke Nukem 3D. but they're really important games. Are they? I mean, I think
I play
Blood Omen again. Blood Omen Legacy of Kain, I bet if they would polish that one up. It's not, I mean, Soul Reaver's better, but and Die Hard Trilogy is probably not as good as I remember. Probably none of these are, but
here's an interesting
64.
One.
Mario 64 is unimpeachable.
Well, here's what I'm going to say. Is this the best Super Mario year ever? With both Super Mario RPG and RPG. Super Mario 64 in the same year?
Yeah. I think that the 96, 97, 98 block, which I won't belabor this point because we're also going to dive into those, is such an interesting little cluster because it's like the 3D flip. And during that 3D flip, inarguably is when what we know as video games today was pretty much firmed up in terms of like franchises released and genres like being invented and coalescing. And like looking at the games across those 3 years, it's like, oh, well, that's all of them. That's all the games that we're still playing today.
Out of curiosity, just around the horn, what of those 2 years would you go? If you guys were voting in this poll, where would you go?
Between 2017 and 1996?
We're not going to bias our listeners because they don't care what we think, really, I found.
I would rather replay the games from 96. I think 2017 is a much better year in terms of 2017 was such a fluke, crazy, great year.
It's tough for me to say. I don't know. I can't give you an answer right now.
Okay, fair enough. Can you give me an answer about the year 2011?
As a matter of fact, I can. The year was 2011. Are you starting the clock?
Oh, it started, baby.
Adele is rolling in the deep. Here he goes. Climbing up the charts, as was LMFAO's Party Rock Anthem.
Hide your daughters, hide your wives.
In theaters, Harry Potter Deathly Hallows Part 2 screamed into theaters, showing the climactic end of the Harry Potter franchise, and the AV Club really, really liked the show, Louis. It was a different time.
30 seconds gone.
Also came out that same year. 2011 brought us Portal 2 was the last time Valve released an actual video game since Half-Life Alyx, so it's been quite a step. Portal 2, for what it's worth, one of my top five games ever. Skyrim came out that year. It was the first time Skyrim came out, not the last time. It came out about 16 times after that, but this was the first time. Minecraft came out that year, 1.0. Minecraft, in case you're still wondering, still a thing, still very popular.
Quite large.
As is Nintendogs. I still feed my Nintendog every day. Also came out in 2011. It was the year of the 3DS, which was a pretty good console. I didn't love it, but whatever.
Not a good launch, but
launch, but Nintendogs. And I also wanted to call out Binding of Isaac, which is a game that I've sunk countless, countless hours into. I would say this is like a very in parts formative in the sense of like Minecraft, and in parts like just stellar game making ability in the case of like Portal 2 and Skyrim. So
it's interesting. I don't think it's the strongest year by any means, but it has like a selection of precious gemstones in
that
it,
really
like,
is, yeah,
I would fuck with any of those, man.
Let's talk about the fucking fruit you left on the vine here though, Russ. I don't know how deeply you dug into this year. Did you maybe just kind of copy and paste what Plant wrote for you? Because
did you notice when I mentioned LMFAO's Party Rock Anthem?
what about Batman Arkham City came out that year?
Oh, it's not even the best. I missed Batman. That one.
Yeah,
I searched best games of 2011.
Weird. Yeah, Batman Arkham City, well-known, popular, very good game.
Game that is probably my favorite of that franchise.
Did you really? Batman Arkham City was your favorite of the franchise?
Why? What's the best one?
No. Probably Arkham Asylum, the first one.
Nah, too spooky.
Captain America Super Soldier was that year, too.
Not a great game. Overrated, in my opinion.
That was pretty fun, I thought.
It was okay.
It was
totally fun. Overrated. Did I forget anything else?
Griffin, 2007.
I'm sure
you did. LA
Noir?
Oh, my gosh.
Ugh.
Faces.
We've spent enough time on 2011.
Dan Reichert's in that game. It's disqualified.
Yeah.
Also, weirdly, an HD re-release of a franchise that I was just thinking about that I'd forgotten existed until recently. MDK2.
Oh, yeah.
MDK.
Damn.
Why did everyone love that game?
It was like a fun enough shooter.
Like, it's okay.
Spider-Man Edge of Time came out that year, which is notably one of the worst things I've ever had to endure.
Okay, 2007 was a massive, massive, massive year in terms of establishing the cluster of years I talked about before, establishing like the franchises and genres that we are still playing today. 2007 was sort of the zenith of the Xbox 360, PlayStation 3 era, and was such a powerful zenith that I would say it also went on to define the PlayStation 4, Xbox One era. These were the games that released in 2007. BioShock, Assassin's Creed, Uncharted, Mass Effect, Halo 4, Call of Duty 4 Modern Warfare, Orange Box / Portal, Super Mario Galaxy, Rock Band. In that list, you have a series of franchises that would go on to be the biggest games, the blockbuster games, the like E3 capstone surprise announcement games that would continue until, you know, they either fizzled out or reached their natural conclusion over the course of the next, you know, I guess 13 years. And you also just had fucking really, really, really very good games. Orange Box will go down in history as one of the best packages of video games ever, ever, ever released. If you could only buy one video game that year and it was Orange Box, you'd probably be okay. You also had the dying of the sun. Well, that's maybe unfair. You had at its short-lived critical mass the peripheral-based rhythm genre, which I adored and still to this day get extremely nostalgic for in Rock Band, which defined, like, from a very personal level, like, my college experience playing Rock Band at every fucking party I went to for a very long time. Like, that game is very culturally, I think, important, if not sort of necessarily, like, important to the landscape of games today. But every other thing released in 2007 is. Now, that being said, this point was made earlier, the sequels to most of these games were much, much better. I do not want to play Uncharted 1. I would much rather play Uncharted 2. Mass Effect 1 is a fine game. Mass Effect 2 beats the shit out of it. Assassin's Creed 2 beats the shit out of it. BioShock is probably my favorite of those.
BioShock 2 is very, very good
BioShock
as well.
BioShock 2 is really, really good. Portal 2 is very, very good. Super Mario Galaxy 2 is very, very good. Rock Band 2 and 3. Like, every game I listed, you could argue that the sequels are better, but this is the year that sort of set those up. So I'm almost arguing against myself because I don't necessarily want to go back and play Assassin's Creed 1 again. Holy shit, I would rather eat my own head than do
that.
That's
a very boring,
very boring, game. Very bad game. But
Kristen Bell's in it, though.
Kristen Bell's in it, and we loved that shit back then. And
hey, did you mention Crackdown?
Was Crackdown in 2007?
Crackdown was in 2007. Yeah.
Good lord. And I think Dirt. I think Dirt was released in 2007.
Fucking Peggle.
Yeah,
Peggle's 2007.
We haven't talked about the seeding of the bracket yet.
God of War 2?
God of War 2 on PlayStation 2. We're reaching past timelines for this year, 2007.
2007 is number 2 seed. in our bracket.
Right.
To give you an idea of like how significant we already think it is.
What a wild. Yeah, this is a wild. This is actually, also, I feel like a little, 2007 was the year I started working for Joystick.
Yeah.
So this is, it's weird because I had to be very familiar with like, this is the first year where I had to know everything about all these games. So it's like, I feel very, very close to this particular year.
Yeah. I do also want to mention that in terms of the seeding, we actually polled the entire video games industry to determine the seeding. So it's actually very, very precise and accurate.
Uh-huh. Scientific.
So if you have any issues whatsoever, just understand 350 people submitted their votes and these are the seeds. So yeah, like,
take it up with Will Wright.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who I appreciate for his participation. Thank you so much, Will. What an honor. Just to say it again. He's a big fan. Listen, why don't we, unless we have something else to say about 2007, let's take a quick break and come back with some more great years. Okay. I know that I was very hot on 2000 and I was very big on 1996. I remember. You guys remember.
It was 90s kids. Era. 90s kids do remember.
It was a different era. 90s kids remember that I love 1996. But 2004 makes 1996 look like a fucking dog turd. And I'm sorry that I ever said anything nice about 2004. Or sorry, about 1996. Because 2004 fucking rules. Are you ready?
Yes. I'm ready.
Time for my presentation. Hello, and welcome to 2004, a TED Talk by Justin McElroy about the best year in video games that ever was. Are you ready for this fucking shit? World of Warcraft is 2004. Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic 2. That's KOTOR 2, which is a fucking seminal. Ninja Gaiden? I think I will actually play Ninja Gaiden again. It's fucking great. Mafia, the first Mafia game. Final Fantasy Crystal Chronicles. Thank you.
Ooh.
Yeah, Metroid Zero Mission, an excellent sort of reimagining of the first Metroid game. Ooh, how about this one? Tenchu Wrath of Heaven. I think I would love to play Tenchu again. Far Cry? Yes. Final Fantasy XI, can't play it anymore, still kicks ass. Who's that coming up? Oh my God, jumping over the turnstile. It's City of Heroes? Absolutely. City of Heroes is joined by its manager, Red Dead Revolver, which is also in the ring. Oh my God, look at the balcony. It's Thief, Deadly Shadows. There's a ventilation shaft. Someone's climbing out of it with an ice pick. It's Chronicles of Riddick, Escape from Butcher Bay.
I gotta
blow through the rest of these because it's so fucking crazy. Legend of Zelda Four Swords Adventures. PsyOps, the Mindgate Conspiracy. Thank you. Yeah. I will play PsyOps again. Spider-Man 2. First game, Spider-Man game to actually get swinging right. Fable is 2004. Star Wars Battlefront is the original Star Wars Battlefront is 2004. Yeah. Thug 2? Yes, please, Thug 2.
Oh.
And then I'm not even off the... Grand Theft Auto San Andreas, Counter-Strike Source, Killzone, EverQuest 2, Halo 2, Metroid Prime 2, Half-Life 2, Gran Turismo 4, and Garry's Mod. This year is wild.
Did you say Burnout 3? Did you say Burnout 3 Takedown?
Yeah, Burnout 3. Yeah, Burnout 3 Takedown is in that year.
Katamari Damacy.
I'm out of time, but just so like to be fair to this year because it's so fucking jam packed. Sly 2, The Sims 2, Def Jam Fight for New York has its place.
Jeff Dam Fight for New York is also in next.
Jeff Dam.
I'm Jeff Dam and I love cussing. What's up?
Paper Mario Thousand Year Door. Yeah. Do you remember Monolith's Tron 2? I forgot that existed.
Yeah, that game rocked.
It ruled. Ratchet and Clank Up Your Arsenal, Legend of Zelda Minish Cap, Bejeweled 2,
okay, Prince where Persia
Warrior Time. Did you, wait, no,
Counter-Strike
you, there's
Condition
a big one
Zero.
That you have not mentioned. Did you mention Vampire the Masquerade Bloodlines?
Thank you, Chris. That was very next on my list. Right after Battlefield Vietnam, Painkiller, Hitman Contracts,
okay.
Manhunt, Tales of Symphonia, Doom 3,
okay,
Beautiful no. Joe, Pikmin 2, Burnout 3, Takedown. This list is 2004. I'm sorry there were so many great games in 2004. I can't stick to my own fucking rule. That game, that year is absolutely out of control. No year can beat it.
It's so wild because like I think it's not nearly... It's not the genre or franchise defining like year of this list, but it's definitely the most like joyful little grab bag, joyful little used game bin at yeah, Babbage's I could ever imagine.
I mean, there is a case for it being like a big cultural shift too, because it effectively decimates the video game publishing market because everybody tries to make an MMO after WoW, and mm-hmm. Half-Life 2 marks the launch of Steam, which changes how games are sold.
I wholeheartedly hope that year wins. Just hearing that list, like, there's so many of those that I would absolutely kill to go back and play.
Oh, sorry, one more, because I want to make sure the readers know about it. Drakengard, game that leads to Nier Automata, is in that year, and we will definitely play it if you choose 2004.
Drakengard's the one with the lady and the dragon, right?
And their eye becomes a flower.
Sounds good.
I want to hit next with 1998, which hits that trio of years that I talked about. It is coming in... obviously at the tail end of that trio of years, and it's following up on a lot of the stuff that 1996 sort of established, namely Resident Evil 2 came out, which is, I think for a long time you could argue is the best Resident Evil game, and recently had a very, very good re-release. I think that this is the year of this is the year where the best like versions of certain franchises or certain genres came out and stayed the best for a very, very long time. You had Metal Gear Solid came out in 1998. You had Half-Life, the original, came out in 1998. Ocarina of Time came out in 1998. Pokemon Red and Blue came out in the States in 1998. Justin tried to claim it for 1996, and I think that's fine.
Justin.
It was a Japanese release.
StarCraft came out in 98. I've never actually played StarCraft, so that would be maybe an interesting one to go back to. Fallout 2, a fucking phenomenal CRPG, came out in 1998. And speaking of fucking phenomenal seminal CRPGs, you have Baldur's Gate that came out in 1998. I think if you could fuse those 3 years together, 96, 97, 98, you would create like an unstoppable, unkillable Voltron. But I think that this is where like the 3D gaming transition era had like reached a comfort zone that, you know, then I think you could safely say that the transition was over. I think Nintendo really nailing the 3D transition of one of its major franchises in Ocarina of Time like represented like, okay, they have more or less figured it out at this point. Yeah, I think it's a huge, huge year. I'm torn between like, which year in that mid-90s period is like the most important, but I think you could make a pretty solid case for 98.
Yeah, I think 98 is like the year, I hate to say this because none of these games are that mature, but the year that like gaming became a mainstream grown-up hobby. Well, obviously, plenty of adults were playing
Resident Evil and Metal Gear.
Metal Gear, Ocarina of Time was like significantly more cinematic and mature compared to other games. Half-Life was Half-Life. It just feels like a turning point.
Yeah, I mean, Metal Gear Solid was so, like... it would be interesting to go back and sort of relitigate the cultural importance and, you know, critical reception to Metal Gear Solid, because it was, like... People get annoyed now talking about the movies versus games sort of conversation. When Metal Gear Solid came out, like, that conversation was not tired enough for people to be so exhausted by it that it was, like, full force, like, damn, guys, Hideo Kojima done made a movie. And it's, it would be fascinating to talk about that again. But, yeah, it's 98.
Y'all, are you ready for 2008?
You know please. I am.
Here's the thing about 2008 versus 2004. 2004, but better. That's basically my entire argument. It's the it is the year that all the franchises got amazing and also got, like, experimental. So, Burnout Paradise, fun arcadey racing crashing game, becomes the beginning of asynchronous open world multiplayer. GTA 4, Rockstar is like, hey, you know the silly crime parody that we have? What if we tried to make it high art and create a living and interactive world that will set to Philip Glass songs and Kanye West? Far Cry 2, Clint Hawking was like, I see that you like shooters, but what if I made a game about how shooters suck? And it was painful to play, but good. Space Invaders Extreme. I know that this seems small, but somebody made Space Invaders decades later and made it feel like a modern game that is amazing. Prince of Persia, a AAA game without a focus on combat. How did it get made? I don't know what Ubisoft was doing.
That's the cel-shaded reboot
Yes.
Of it, right? Not Sands of Time or anything. Okay.
Correct. Yeah. Oh, it's like the like weird aesthetic.
What a cool game that was.
Yeah, it was very nice. Cool. And then there are all the sequels that finally deliver on the potential of the originals: Rock Band 2, Persona 4, Fallout 3, Gears of War 2, Fable 2, Wild. And then you toss in the original titles that really haven't been bested, except for maybe by their own sequels. Little Big Planet, No More Heroes, Mirror's Edge, Left 4 Dead, Dead Space, and then the beginning of the modern indie game era thanks to Xbox Live Arcade and just easier freeware online. So that means Braid and Spelunky, the original Spelunky.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it is a year. And if we're looking for a year that's fun, I don't know if there's a year on the list that's more just purely enjoyable.
That XBLA launch argument is pretty fucking heady. That was a moment.
I was trying to remember if Meat Boy came out that year, but it might have been a little bit after.
I think it might be the year after. I think it might be 2009.
Or before.
It is so wild. I just to return to Prince of Persia for a second. That weird anomaly. So they obviously the original Prince of Persia back in the late 80s. Then Prince of Persia kind of got this rebirth in 2003 with Sands of Time. It was like a platform action game that brought in like time bending mechanics. That 2008 Prince of Persia was like a reboot, basically, like we're starting over. 2010 you had the Forgotten Sands, which was a sequel to the previous. Like they were just like, never mind. We'll go back to the old one. And then there's another franchise. Prince. It's been a decade since one of those came out, which is why it's time for bring those back. Come on.
I don't think I knew they released a fourth Prince of Persia, Sands of Time storyline game. I don't think I knew that one existed, which is a shame because I was for sure working in the industry when that one came out. This was also the year that pushed me to get a PlayStation 3 finally because of Little Big Planet solely. Wow, I'd love to play that game again.
We got one more year on the docket. Fresh. Make your Fresh big swing.
Don't fuck this up, Russ.
Year. Now.
Hold on. Don't waste two.
If you waste a minute, waste
30 seconds on recapping events from the year, right?
Don't talk about Smash Mouth. Don't talk about Lit.
Okay, here we go. Go.
Now, the year I have is 1997. And it seems to me you lived your life like a candle in the wind, because Candle in the Wind was the number one song that year. Also, You Were Met for Me by Jewel. Titanic was top in the charts. And Seinfeld. Was the most watched television show on television.
I replaced my Seinfeld button with a Video Armageddon button, so I just gotta let that play.
Okay.
But pretend it's the Seinfeld theme.
Some games actually came out that year as well. A little game called GoldenEye, as well as Final Fantasy VII, Castlevania Symphony of the Night, which invented the Metroidvania format of video games.
There it is. He found it. Hang on.
The original Fallout, which was arguably the best, one of the best, if not the best Fallout games ever made. I would certainly say it's better than Fallout 3, which Plant heralded. The original Grand Theft Auto, which is not one of the best Grand Theft Auto games ever made, but it sure made parents angry, didn't it? The original Diablo, the original MDK, which I've never ever played. Did I mention Star Fox 64? Because that game was fucking rad, and it invented the Rumble Pack. The origin of the Rumble Pack that came in 1997. You didn't have Rumble before now. You didn't know what things felt like.
That's so true.
Gran Turismo is like a racing game that people drove in circles mostly. Mm. And Bushido Blade, which Griffin really likes, but I've never played.
That's also Harvest Moon.
Harvest Moon came out that year as well.
You could like farm.
Boy howdy, that's a good fucking year.
It is a very good year.
FF7 and Symphony of the Night, that was a good year to have a PlayStation and a Nintendo 64.
And a bad year to have a Sega Saturn. Like
and a pretty bad, well, every year's a bad year to have a Sega Saturn, Chris.
It's a very good year. Mm.
It's not up to us to decide, right? It's up to the audience to vote in this bracket. So
it feels cowardly to not at least like make a run and see what we would end up with, right?
I'm going to list off the bracket really, really quick so people know what the first battles are going to be. Is that okay by everybody?
Sure.
Yeah. Cool. Yes.
So seed one is 1998. That's Resident Evil 2, Metal Gear Solid, Half-Life, Ocarina of Time, going up against seed 8, That's 2011, with Portal 2, Skyrim, Little Big Planet 2, Minecraft. Next up, we got Seed 4, 1997, GoldenEye, Final Fantasy VII, Castlevania Symphony of the Night. Going up against Seed 5, 2017, Breath of the Wild, Super Mario Odyssey, Horizon Zero Dawn, Nier Automata. God. After that, we have Seed 3, 2004, Half-Life 2, World of Warcraft, Halo 2, GTA San Andreas. That year's just so stupidly good. And it is going up against its companion, Seed 6, 2008, Burnout Paradise, Rock Band 2, GTA 4, Persona 4. That's going to be my favorite battle of Friday. Seed, the final round, or final group of these, Seed 2, 2007, is BioShock, Assassin's Creed, Uncharted, Mass Effect, Halo 4, Modern Warfare. Going up against Seed 7, that's 1996, Super Mario 64, Quake, Duke Nukem 3D, Resident Evil. Wowza.
Yeah.
It's a lot of good video games. Justin, you're saying that we wanted to kind of share our personal favorites, do you think, so people know where our heads are at?
I mean, I kind of don't. You know, the more now that I think more on it, I don't necessarily want to bias everybody by
making
us play games that we don't actively like. Yeah. I don't want to hint to them how they could best punish us.
That's fair. Maybe we don't talk about our least favorite years then, Justin, and we could talk about the years that we are, because they're going to have to play them too, ostensibly, if they're...
I don't have to do anything.
I will say this, there is not a single year here that I would be like, oh.
Yeah, same.
Like, this is all going to be fun. I would sort of reiterate what I said earlier about 2017, which is like, maybe it shouldn't win. It's a very good year, but maybe it shouldn't win.
It's a little too recent. Just lived it. Yeah, and honestly, kind of on the same note, like 2007, those games are huge and great, but I don't know how much... It is a year that has been so discussed, and it represents franchises that have been just like... turned over so much that I don't know that replaying BioShock is going to like dredge up any new thoughts about BioShock, right? Like, I think I've probably heard every BioShock argument that there is to make.
I don't think
this
anyone's
point.
Really made any think pieces about BioShock, to be honest.
Yeah, maybe not.
You know what, weirdly, I feel like and again, I'm sort of letting personal experience color this, but like I kind of think I would go 2008. Like, yeah. If I had to return to one year, it's really good. I mean, I was playing a lot. That was my second year at Joystick. So I was playing like, and I think the first year I was reviews editor. So I was playing a lot of video games at that point, and I have a lot of really good memories. I'm worried about some of these. How much of a problem do you guys think like availability is going to be for some of these? Most of them are.
I mean, it's worth remembering, like, we're not going to be able to play every single game that we've mentioned here.
Right.
We're only going to be able to do the ones that we could actually.
Like, I'm pretty sure I couldn't get a hold of Die Hard Arcade, right? Like, I don't think.
I think I could get you a copy.
I don't want our listeners to have to go through any illegal means.
Right. Yeah. Rock Band would also be a difficult sort of experience for me to recreate.
In the middle
point.
Of a pandemic.
I mention I've been learning to play the ukulele, so I can actually pull that one off.
We're close.
You know, I think I'm going to tweak the bracket so that 2004 and 2008 don't face each other literally in the first round, because that's too much heartbreak.
That's probably a good idea.
It's too sad. I'm going to adjust.
Man, look at the list. 2008 definitely has some good shit. 2004, I think, is the one that got me most excited. The idea of all four of us having to go and play World of Warcraft Classic to recreate that experience is fucking hysterical to me. And, you know, I'll play Spider-Man 2. I'll play Burnout 3 Takedown any fucking day. Wow, that's a good year.
I think we did it, y'all. I think we have made our cases. It is now out of our hands.
Oh, boy.
For better or for worse.
Is anybody, before we close out the episode, have you been playing anything else that's fun or interesting?
Yeah, I've been playing the game where you stare at the six rocks in Animal Crossing and try to get them to move in a very specific spot in Animal Crossing. It is the most embarrassing thing I think I've ever done in a video game, is covering my entire island with patterns so that the rocks can only spawn in one specific spot.
Holy shit, Russ.
It is God,
Russ.
Very embarrassing.
That's really depressing, Russ.
I know.
Something else, pal. I finished FF7 Remake, and again, kicks ass. And I don't know if we will ever have an opportunity to talk about what that game does.
I think we will. I think in like maybe a month for a B segment, we can talk about the ending. Because
man, holy shit, it is so cool and so smart.
I played a neat thing last night with Sydney. It was a an escape room, a virtual escape room that is entirely in Google Docs. It's presented exclusively through Google Docs. A guy named Anthony Smith made it. He's on Twitter, Anthony B. L. Smith. So if you go to his feed, you can find a link to it. It's just called Escape. But I played that last night. It was neat how he sort of plays with the format and the tools.
You can't just like close the window,
huh?
You can't.
I guess in a sense that does finish the game.
I have a recommendation that is not a game. I finally subscribed to the Criterion Channel, which sounds like hoity-toity. Lots of Akira Kurosawa and Louis Buñuel. True, that's there. You know what also is there? A little film called Death Race 3000. A little film called Police Story 1 and 2 with commentary. There is some very good weird stuff on Criterion Channel.
Is that like a digital Apple TV kind of channel or like a direct TV?
It's just like Netflix basically, but it's just tons and tons of Criterion movies.
Cool. All right. Excellent. Well, thank you for listening. I don't know, in terms of email, will we be looking for... Probably wait till we figure out the winning year, I would guess.
Yeah, check our Twitter feed, and we'll put some questions there.
Yes. Our next episode, we should point out, is going to be us discussing the first game we select from the winning year, which we're not going to know until, like, Monday. So if you want to play along, I would say Monday, check in on our Twitter feed and see what we're dipping into.
Well, and vote Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Remember, we're going to do, you know, we'll have one round each day. So we're going to go through it quick. So make sure you don't sleep on that at the Besties Pod. The voting will be there.
Yes.
And that is going to do it for us. Remember, you can follow and listen for free on Spotify, which you probably already knew. If you want to share the show with folks, this would be a fun time to do it, an interesting time. Besties.fan is the URL to get them straight to our show. And thank you so much for listening. Until next time, my name is Justin McElroy, and these are the other guys. I don't normally say my name, but I'm going to say their names. Russ Freshtick, Chris Plant, Griffin McElroy. I'm not scared. Be sure to join us again next time for the Besties, because shouldn't the world's best friends pick the world's best games?
Is a Spotify original podcast in association with Vox Media. The show is edited by Jelani Carter. And our theme song is by Ian Dorsch.
Besties!